Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Buick GMC Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is Hockman and Crowder on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
My head is spinning from all the stuff, all the March Madness. I haven't even talked about the women's tournament, which was announced yesterday. Got to give the women's Hurricanes basketball team a little love. But before we do all that, it's the top of the hour. What do we like to do at the top of the hour?
Try to give out money.
Army training, sir.
Stripes?
Yeah. Sergeant Hulka.
Yeah, that's your go-to.
Army training, sir. Now's your chance to win $1,000. The 560 WQAM Slam Dunk Contest. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word waste. Waste. W-A-S-T-E. I don't think if you send waste, W-A-I-S-T, it'll work. So you want to make sure you text the word waste. W-A-S-T-E to 72881. Text it and you are registered.
I like the other one.
Yeah. Text waste, W-A-S-T-E. You're a waste. To 72881. If you don't win this time, your next chance will be the top of the next hour, so about 5 o'clock. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. Text waste to 72881. We want winners that are listening to this show.
We had one.
It happened last week. Young fella in Sunrise. I have no idea how old he was, but a guy in Sunrise. Young fella, I'm shook. You told me earlier I look like Roy Williams and Abe Vigoda, and a tweeter tweeted us a picture. I retweeted it of me next to Roy Williams and Abe Vigoda, and I'm sorry. I do not look like them.
That filter made y'all look alike, though.
No filter.
Oh, okay.
Text the word waste to 72881. NCAA Women's Tournament matchups were announced last night. The Hurricanes are an 8 seed. They play Quinnipiac, a 9 seed, this Saturday afternoon. As a note, Quinnipiac knocked Miami out of the tournament last year. That's the team that you're not allowed to bring up around Coach Katy Meyer.
Oh.
And somehow they got matched up with Quinnipiac again. Payback, baby!
They got to whoop them.
Payback! It's a tough one, though. Miami's an 8 seed, Quinnipiac a 9 seed. Like, that's a even matchup.
What
right
team
there.
Are they playing, Crowder?
Quinnipiac.
Oh, okay. All right.
What the hell you think
I'm trying to stump you, man.
Stump me.
Do you know where Quinnipiac is?
Connecticut.
Do you know the famous graduate of Quinnipiac that we know?
I do.
Who?
Crowder?
The boy that wore those cheap shoes and used to work here.
That's right, J-Rock.
Yeah.
You are absolutely right, Justin. I hope you're listening right now.
Yeah, on the Vias.
That's our man. I love Justin.
J-Rock.
J-Rock.
Receding hairline at 7.
There's so much going on with the Dolphins, so translate all this for us. They get rid of Jarvis Landry. What's the Danny Amendola deal, Falero? You said you saw it somewhere?
Yeah, somebody reported 2 years, $12 million, 8.2 guaranteed.
That's nothing. That's, okay. That's a Crowder contract.
Okay, so 2 years, so you're paying $6 million a year. Okay, so $6 million next year for Danny Amendola. And then you've also got Albert Wilson, who's making $8 million next year. So you've got $14 million, if my math serves me well.
It
University of
does,
Miami,
yeah.
Thank you.
That was good.
$14 million invested in slot receivers next season, Danny Amendola and Albert Wilson.
Or just receivers.
Okay.
And it's less. You got Wilson and Amendola for less than what Jarvis wanted.
Yes.
You said figure it out with us, explain it to you. That's the perfect example of
okay,
what they're doing.
But are they Jarvis?
Combine Maybe.
Honestly, Danny Amendola, we don't know if he's healthy or not.
And don't get, because I saw your face, don't get upset when a lot of these answers are maybe, because that's what you're going in dealing with the Dolphins right now. If you're going to, you don't want to say bargain hunt. You're not talking about $1 million guy. You're not talking about, you know, second year guy that was cut because he sprained his ankle. You're talking about good players that aren't Pro Bowlers, that aren't even, I don't think, borderline Pro Bowlers. Is Danny Amendola a Pro Bowl guy? No. He's a good receiver. Wilson, good receiver, $6 and $8 million. We can't do the 16. They don't want to do the $16 million guy. They want to get some of these mid-tier, mid-range salary guys. And your mid-range salary guys are usually going to be slotted in their productivity right in that same range. You're paying 17 for Julio Jones and AB. You pay 6 for Danny Amendola. You pay 8 for Albert Wilson. That's how it works.
What do we know about Albert Wilson? You said you saw him. Were you telling me, Valero, you saw him last season? Someone was telling me that.
Yeah, I saw him in a couple of games with Kansas City, and I thought he was pretty good. He was just the fourth option in that Kansas City offense.
Because now you got to come in, and, I mean, you know, you can't compare him to Jarvis. That's not fair. No. Jarvis, a Pro Bowler, multi-year Pro Bowler. But you've got to be able to be a target for Ryan Tannehill. Like, you've got to be able. By the way, I saw something on CBS because we had mentioned earlier Drew Brees signed a 2-year, $50 million contract or will with the Saints. CBS Sports says that he rejected a 2-year, $60 million offer from a mystery team.
Brees?
Somebody was offering Drew Brees $30 million a season at age 39. Is he 39? That's crazy.
He should have went. That would have been fun.
And
39, yeah.
39. And we learned today also, Kirk Cousins, he's going to Minnesota, 3 years, $84 million, all of it guaranteed.
Kirk Cousins is balling.
Is that going to change? Like, is that going to be the new norm now?
I wonder. It's kind of precedent setting.
Oh, yeah. These numbers that are coming out.
But guaranteed. To guarantee the entirety of the contract, that is precedent setting by Kirk Cousins.
It's how it happens, though. To answer your question, it's how it starts. One guy doesn't do it, but when two guys, three guys, and it always starts with the quarterbacks because that's the locked-in guy. But yeah, I'm with you, Lero. I think this might be good for the whole CBA, all the players where guys get a fully guaranteed contract.
Well, it doesn't matter what the CBA says, to be quite honest, if you're going to be able to negotiate fully guaranteed contracts on your own. Because what will happen is, that will work for the high-profile guys, which is all they care about.
Yes.
And the lower-tier guys will get cut when they're no longer needed.
Albert Wilson, 42 receptions last season, behind Travis Kelce, behind Kareem Hunt, behind Tyreek Hill, behind, like Lero was saying, maybe if you had the running backs in, the fifth option.
Right.
With 42 receptions. Maybe. Don't look at me. When I start telling you maybe about these guys, don't start looking at me crazy.
Oh, I know.
Maybe.
I know. I'm just saying you had a known commodity with Jarvis Landry. Now you're hoping. You know, it's kind of like the Mike Wallace thing. He was playing behind a couple guys. You go, you know what? If he was the marquee guy, that guy would be catching balls like AB. Or not.
But then there's also.
It made you long for the days of Ernest Wilford.
With those numbers that you see.
Rimshot. Thank you.
Jarvis is a 10 yard per reception guy. That's his criticism. Albert Wilson's up there with the more elite receivers, 13 and 14 yards per catch. So the criticism they had of Jarvis, this guy, he's not catching 100 balls. He hasn't caught 100 balls, but 42, 554, and 13 yards per reception. That's the next step when you're talking about that slot receiver, a guy that can get the ball and get the hell on. And he can run now. He can go.
Yeah, he's 5'9", 5'10", blazer.
He's not going to make Jakeem Grant look that small anymore. He's not no big dude.
Then you got Juwan James indicating he's returning. That's good news, right? I mean, he got a little iffy in the tail end of
last year was his worst year, but during the pregame and talked to a number of
people.
You
don't want to lose him.
I think he was injured last year. I don't think he was at his prime last year. I think he was playing through stuff is what I heard a lot last season. Asking about him because his first 2 or 3 years, I didn't even notice him. And as an offensive lineman.
That's what you want.
If I don't hear your name, you're doing your job. Last year I started, you know, he was giving up sacks. Guys, you know, destroying him off their right side in the run game. So, yeah, Juwan James needs to bounce back. I'm not upset that he's staying.
Right.
Yeah, he's
I mean, he needs to bounce back. You're right, but I'm not upset he's staying. I'd rather have a known commodity there that has performed well in the past while having an iffy season.
I don't think he's a maybe. I think you're locked in at right tackle with that. If you know, make sure the numbers get done, but with the Instagram post, I think we're locked in at right tackle.
Cody Parkey looks like he's going to the Chicago Bears, so we'll be in the market for a kicker.
Undervalued position.
Man, it is so nice to have a kicker you have confidence in, and Cody Parkey was that.
And now.
Was he here one season or two?
One, because they re-upped both the punter and kicker last year.
That's right.
It was Dar and somebody else, but yeah, they got rid of the kicker and the punter before last season, and now they got rid of the kicker again.
So Cody Parkey had just signed a one-year contract, I guess, with the Dolphins last season?
Could have signed a two, but like we're saying, nothing's guaranteed, so they get rid of you when they want to.
And then the other thing we saw today is Teddy Bridgewater looks like he's got an offer from the Jets, could be going to the Jets. How's that Teddy Bridgewater, the Jets thing looking? Does that look more and more secure?
It looks like it, but Teddy Bridgewater has more options.
Right.
But the Jets are making him a priority. So.
Because they wanted Kirk Cousins
or Case Keenum.
Case Keenum. Case Keenum's going to Denver?
Correct.
Cousins in
I don't want to see
Minnesota.
Teddy Bridgewater in New York.
I don't like it for the Dolphins. I respect Bridgewater.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then who's the Bills quarterback? Because they lost Tyrod.
I think they're in the running for it.
Did Nathan Peterman?
No, and there was a report out that they're trying to jump in the draft to a top five selection somehow. Because they have to get a quarterback. Five interceptions in the first quarter, Peterman? You're going to roll into a season with him?
That was an accident.
An accident that can happen again. I don't like those type of accidents.
And then remains to be seen, obviously, what the Dolphins do at the quarterback position. My gut instinct says that they're going after a quarterback in the draft.
Yeah. Tannehill starts, and then if the offense isn't performing or if Tannehill wasn't get injured again, you have your future. Or Tannehill's not injured. If the offense isn't going well and your fan base starts turning on you, you re-energize them by throwing the young boy in. I'm with you.
Baker Mayfield.
Win-win to have a young guy here.
Now, I read you earlier Adam Beasley's comments about Ndamukong Suh and moving on from the Dolphins. This is Alex Marvez in the Sporting News, okay? Ndamukong Suh knew what was coming before the sun had even risen on the West Coast. While apparently heading to an early Monday morning workout in his hometown of Portland, Suh posted a cryptic Twitter video. "Stay tuned," Suh said in a measured voice while looking into the camera. "There's going to be some exciting news going on." Exciting, if you're Suh, that is. Suh not only gets to abandon the sinking ship, otherwise known as the Miami Dolphins, the defensive tackle's imminent release, which was first reported several hours later by ESPN, means Suh soon will be receiving another big money check elsewhere after leaving South Florida, having collected $60 million in a three-year span. When the move becomes official Wednesday, so the Dolphins can clear $17 million in salary cap room, I'm waiting for another Twitter post in which Suh says, "So long, suckers." That's exactly what the Dolphins became 3 years ago when they gave Suh the largest contract ever for a defensive player. In hindsight, the comments from Sue's introductory news conference back then are almost comical, unless you're a Dolphin fan, having just endured a 6-10 season with scant reason to believe a major turnaround is coming. Stephen Ross, whose ownership tenure is making predecessor Wayne Huizenga's look like Robert Kraft's in New England, proclaimed Suh's addition was probably the greatest free agent signing at least this year, if not on a historical basis. Then general manager Dennis Hickey gushed about Suh's unselfish nature, which is sure to draw chuckles from those inside team headquarters after the past 3 years. And football czar Mike Tannenbaum, who has never met a big name player he didn't want to acquire, even at the expense of re-signing draft picks that should be used to build Miami's roster foundation, said getting a player of Ndamukong's stature just says a lot about our organization. It sure does. This isn't to say Suh was a stiff. He played in every game during his Dolphins tenure, avoiding the suspensions that came from on-field cheap shots while with Detroit. He ranked among the NFL's top five interior linemen and tackles during all three seasons, with a career-best 72 stops coming in 2016. But after signing a five-year, $110 million deal, more was expected, much more. start with Miami's pass rush. Sue was supposed to draw enough double-team attention that others could thrive in one-on-one matchups. Yet the Dolphins posted meager sack totals of 31, 33, and 30 in the past three seasons. Sue's sack numbers in those years gradually declined from 6 to 5 to 4.5. He logged multiple sacks in a game only twice, the last time being against Cleveland in week 4 of the 2016 campaign. The Dolphins also would end that year ranked 30th in the NFL against the run, with opponents gouging Miami for an average of 140.4 yards a game. There was improvement in 2017, but the Dolphins still finished 19th in that category. Again, Sue isn't to blame for all of his unit's failings. There were issues at varying times with talent in Miami's back seven, along with four different defensive coordinators running the show. Sue, though, simply wasn't able to take Miami to the heights expected upon his arrival. The times Sue truly took over a game and looked unblockable were few and far between. Sue wasn't even the NFL's best defensive tackle during his Dolphins run. Aaron Donald of the Rams has proven far more disruptive in the same time span while playing on a much cheaper rookie contract. While the Sue tale should be a cautionary one for other clubs entering free agency this offseason, it won't be. An excess of cap space for most teams, combined with limited talent on the market, will ultimately lead to buyer's remorse, like with a Dolphins squad now saddled with $22 million in dead money. That's not Sue's problem. At age 31, Sue is headed toward another large payday, with more tempered expectations than when he arrived at Dolphins headquarters. Having collected $124 million in career earnings, Sue can choose his next team either based upon the top financial offer received or, if the two aren't congruent, the best perceived chance of winning a Super Bowl. That's something from which the Dolphins arguably are even further away than when they first were when Sue arrived. Interesting take from Alex Marvez.
Good move.
Good move, but also flawed move from the beginning.
Yes.
He's saying to you, hey, Dolphins fans, like, there it is again. Look at what happened. Giant contract, huge expectations, never really paid off. Wasted time, wasted money.
You congratulate him for cleaning up the spilled milk they spilled.
Right.
That's, yeah.
And right.
So can you
did a great job cleaning up.
So it has to be neutral. You can't be upset or, you know, excited either way. It's just, it is what it is.
They saw
it didn't work and they moved on.
I always go back to the same thing. I was excited about the Sue move. I think everyone in the media was, so I don't fault them for that.
As a linebacker, I was, because I know how easy it would be to play behind
you
him.
You said every linebacker is getting on their knees and praying, thanking the Lord for bringing Ndamukong Suh to that defensive line.
Just run now. The linemen are taken care of. Just run around and make tackles.
But it never really played out. Just didn't play out.
Did they not use him right? Did they not utilize him?
Did they not surround him with the right people?
I'd have to say yes with that. But even with Sue and Cam Wake, there's teams out there. I said 31 other teams would love to have Cam Wake and Sue on the same defensive line together. It just didn't work out for us.
Would you be interested in Jimmy Graham for the Dolphins?
Yes.
The Packers intend to sign Jimmy Graham to a three-year deal, sources tell ESPN.
Why'd you bait me up before you told me the Packer deal? Yes. The Packers.
Adam Schefter reporting the Packers intend to sign Jimmy Graham to a three-year deal. He'll eat with Aaron Rodgers. Oh, man.
Pro Bowl.
All right. I have so much stuff here.
But see, we're bringing in pieces. So we're seeing slowly the master plan, the future of what they were doing.
I just told you Jimmy Graham's going to the Packers.
You don't have to get Jimmy Graham to win.
Where's our pieces?
We just talked about Wilson and Danny Amendola, whatever the boy's name is.
Injured Danny Amendola?
He's healthy now. He's no Julian Edelman.
Crowder and I are going to be at Duffy's Sports Grill on University Drive in Plantation this Friday, 2 till 6. We're going to be doing the show this Friday. Come watch some basketball with us. Enjoy ice-cold Miller Lite and Coors Light buckets, 5 for $10. 2-for-1 drinks all day, and we're going to have some fun. So we want you to be out there with us. Duffy Sports Grill, University Drive in Plantation. We are going to be there 2 till 6. on Friday. We have such a loaded potato of a week because of the basketball tournament and all the NFL free agency. Wednesday, it's going to be even crazier. Tomorrow's going to be even crazier. Tomorrow, by the way, Rob Pizzola, professional prognosticator, will join us. He usually joins us on Thursday. We're not going to be on Thursday because the Hurricanes basketball game will be on. But we wanted to have him on before the tournament started anyway. So Rob Pizzola is going to join us tomorrow. In the next segment, Chad Millman is going to join us. Who is Chad Millman, you may ask?
Who's Chad Millman?
Thank you. I was lobbing it up there for you.
I thought that was a rhetorical question.
It was.
Okay.
But then you and I made eye contact, so I figured I'd wait.
You try to do that. I don't try to do that.
Chad Millman is from the Action Network. And you know it's all about that action, boss. You see what I'm saying?
I got you.
The Action Network, I figure a lot of people looking for bracket action. And maybe Chad Millman can give us a little. We had Brandon Lang on earlier. He likes Loyola over Miami. I'm curious to see what Chad Millman has to say. He is a bracketologist, if you will. He can tell us all about brackets and all about this UM-Loyola of Chicago game. Hurricanes and Ramblers, Thursday.
Bracket action.
Bracket action, boss.
That sounds like something me and my wife could figure out a way to make fun.
It's all about that action, boss.
Woo, with a bracket?
Chad Millman, we'll talk some brackets. We'll talk some UM basketball next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
A loaded potato of a week for us. I've been saying this over and over, but Thursday we'll be off because we air the basketball games. So you'll hear University of Miami on Thursday on this station. There's all the NFL free agency stuff going on, and the Dolphins, obviously, as we know, are making a lot of changes. But then we've got this Miami game, and people are filling out their brackets like crazy. This is – I like it. Don't get me wrong. I like it.
I don't know anything about Loyola, man.
Yeah, neither do I.
Okay.
I know, but a lot of people are saying they're a Cinderella team, that this is the kind of team that could be Jim Larrañaga's George Mason team from several years ago. We're going to head out to the – Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, talk with Chad Millman. He's the head of media for the Action Network. Obviously, with March Madness here, many more people than ever are enjoying a little bit of action. You know that I do. You can get info on the Action Network at actionnetwork.com. They also feature a one-stop bracket simulator on the site that will make every choice for you. That I don't know why someone would do. Like, people do that in fantasy football sometimes, yeah, where they let the site pick the picks. Why do people do that? Chad's with us. Why do people do that? Why would they let someone else pick the picks for them?
I'll tell you why they do it. Because they're scared. Because if they let someone else do it, or if they let a machine do it, then all of a sudden, free will is removed from the equation. They haven't made any bad decisions. The machine made the bad decisions. I actually think about this a lot because there's actually been this huge sort of swing where, you know, over the last 20 years, data, analytics, Moneyball, all of that has become so much more prevalent in the way people think about sports and the way they make decisions about sports. But it's not nearly as admired as a trait as someone instinctively knowing what's good and what's bad, who's good and who's bad, and how to make decisions based on sort of innate knowledge. But I think it's largely because, to the original question, they're scared.
Yeah, I guess that's why I do a quick pick on the lotto.
Yeah. No, my thing with quick pick is computer is, you know, it's just as better chances I have.
It's just, yeah, but with a bracket, like, to me, the fun of filling out a bracket is making picks for yourself and trying to figure out if you can beat the system. But that being said, so Chad Millman is with us. ActionNetwork.com is the website. We're obviously very interested in Miami-Loyola, the matchup on Thursday afternoon. Now, the last I looked, Miami, who's a 6 seed, is only a 1.5-point favorite. And the Ramblers, the 11 seed, obviously getting 1.5. Why that kind of line for a 6-11?
Loyola's a pretty good team, and they have a point guard named Clayton Custer who's really, really good. And I think that a lot of the wise guys and sort of professional bettors in Vegas look at that matchup, because that is a matchup that everyone's been talking about, right? And so I think that they look at that matchup and they think this is an opportunity where Loyola can exploit potential matchups. You know, Miami plays a lot of man-to-man defense, right? And on switches, Clayton Custer might be really good at finding ways to take advantage of those matchups and turn them into mismatches. And certainly when you were talking about the tournament, if you have a guy who has been really good as a guard, it tends to control the pace of the game. So that's why you've been seeing some money coming in on Loyola, because that line's moved a little bit in favor of the Ramblers.
Yeah, it opened at 2.5. Here's my theory. I said this yesterday. Tell me if I'm right. You obviously you know the gambling business. And I grew up in Chicago. So when I was growing up, DePaul was just a huge powerhouse with Mark Aguirre. And you know, DePaul had these legendary college basketball teams. And I look at Loyola and I go, here's a collegiate basketball team that the Chicagoland area can get a little bit excited about. And I think it creates a little bit of an imbalanced market because Chicago is such a large city and would love to have a great team in the tournament that maybe the line gets a little bit skewed because people want to buy into the belief that Chicago's got a viable tournament team. Could that play into Miami's favor, the line-wise?
No, not at all. Okay. And I'll tell you what.
I retract my previous statement.
I don't want to bring you down. I actually grew up in Chicago as well, and I grew up in Chicago in the 80s when DePaul was a powerhouse and when, like, Loyola and Al Frederick Hughes, like, were lighting up, you know, the scoreboards, and, like, he was a leading scorer in college basketball. And every year, both Loyola and DePaul seemed to be making the tournament. I loved sort of Loyola when I was growing up. I think it's largely, it's all based on Vegas. It's all based on the money that's moved in Vegas. You could make the case that there's a lot of old Chicago guys in Vegas, which is true, and old Chicago guys who would have loved Loyola sort of in the 60s and 70s and 80s when they had their glory years, and that's moved the number. But I think it's entirely based on the metrics. And the wise guy seeing an opportunity in a mid-major team that had to win its conference title to get into the tournament, but is a little bit better than people think, against a Miami team that is probably a little bit overrated.
And, Chad, as you do this and look at the matchups, aren't you supposed to that same, you know, thought process, like, take that emotion out of it? Can you make this tournament analytical where you look at some stats and say, this team's better than that team, not my father was a DePaul fan?
Oh, I think that's all we do is take the emotion out of it. We scrub the emotion completely from how we analyze these games and what we're looking at from both a bracket prediction perspective and sort of a game-by-game perspective. We don't think about it from an emotional perspective.
That's no fun, though. I like to, you know, there's certain guys that like action on games. I'm this guy. I will not, for the most part, I will not bet against my team for the most part because, you know, some people have that theory of, well, either way I win then. If my team wins, I win. If I've got money riding on a game, I'm pretty much rooting for that money. And then I find myself getting a headache. I start to annoy myself. Chad Millman is with us. The Action Network, actionnetwork.com is the website. How deep do you think the Hurricanes can go in the tournament? You already just said that they might be a little overrated as a six.
Oh, I think they're going to lose to Loyola.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, like you were deflated a little bit over there.
Well, because I think Loyola's getting a lot of hype. I think that people are conveniently forgetting the tough ACC schedule that Miami plays, and I think Miami's a really good team. I think, again, I'll go back to my earlier hypothesis. I think that there's a little overhype on Loyola because of them being from Chicago and it being such a major market, major city. And everyone at the beginning of a tournament, Chad, right, has to look and find who they think the Cinderella story could be. And it ain't going to be Lipscomb, so it might as well be Loyola.
Right, exactly. Or, like, it could be, you know, New Mexico State. Or it could be Murray State. It could be, you know, certainly they're not a underdog from a point spread perspective, but Butler is a 10 seed, and they're playing Arkansas in the first round. So, like, there are, you know, other potential underdogs out there, but certainly right now, Loyola is one that a lot of people are getting really excited about.
And Chad Loyola, like you're saying, we're hearing a lot of stuff about them as the underdog. Who's overseeded? Who's not deserving of a 1 or 2 seed?
I don't think Kansas is deserving of a 1 seed. I think they're a little bit overseeded. I think Cincinnati is probably underseeded. They're probably deserving of a 1 seed. Xavier, I don't think, is deserving of a 1 seed. And again, like, sort of when I look at these things, I'm looking at them through the prism of analytics, not necessarily through any emotional feeling I have for any of these teams. But oftentimes what happens is, at the end of the day, the selection committee votes as much for the names on the front of the jersey as they do for what they're seeing and sort of the how the numbers look if you remove all of the names from the equation. And that's often how you look at betting, right, is sort of take the Dolphins out of it, take the Patriots out of it. What number are you looking at, and do you think there's value there? And if you can do that, then you have a better chance of sort of making the right call than if you're trying to figure out, okay, can I really do this? Can I really bet against the New England? Can I really bet against a Kansas? Things like that. So that's why I think sometimes those teams are overvalued.
And, Chad, as you look at the analytical side, what are the top 2 or 3 numbers? Because they're all out there, the points per game, defense efficiency. Those top 3 numbers that you would say are the most important.
Oh, I always look at certainly efficiency stats, but rebounding efficiency stats, especially defensive rebounding. It's a great indicator of, how many times is someone getting a second chance to score, or is it a one-and-done kind of thing? 3-point shooting percentage and sort of all the metrics around that. It is, obviously one of the most efficient shots in basketball. And the more effective you are, the more you're going to score. It's why there's a lot of conversations around Purdue right now. They're one of the better, if not the best, 3-point shooting team in the tournament. And so if they are playing as they are capable of playing, and they have a lot of good wings, then they get the opportunity to advance.
Chad Millman, Action Network. Check out the website, actionnetwork.com. On the way out, a lot of people are filling out brackets. They're doing it during the show. They're doing it at work. They got to get their brackets done. If you have a 16 losing to a – if you have a 16 beating a 1, are you filling out your brackets wrong?
I think you are. I think 16 and 1 is really, really tough.
That's a gimme.
I don't think
that's never going to happen.
But there are plenty of double digits. I mean, we talked about – Butler. We talked about New Mexico State. We talked a lot about Loyola. We talked about Murray State. I certainly don't see those as being sort of outside the realm of, South Dakota State against Ohio State is another one that a lot of people are talking about. I certainly don't see those as being outside the realm of possibility.
Who do you have winning your brackets?
I have Cincinnati winning. My final four was Cincinnati, Michigan State. I think I had North Carolina, and I'm missing one more from there. Michigan State.
Well, we know it's not Miami.
What's that?
We know it's not Miami.
No, it's definitely not Miami. but, I'm not a huge fan of the number one seeds in this tournament. I think it's pretty wide open.
Chad Millman, the Action Network. Again, the website, actionnetwork.com. It's fascinating stuff. Thank you for making time for us, Chad.
Thanks, guys.
Chad Millman again there. This is a fun time of year. I don't agree with what he said about Miami. I'm telling you, people are buying into this hype on Loyola. Are they forgetting that Miami went to Chapel Hill and beat UNC? Recently?
They haven't looked great all season. The consistency.
They've put together wins.
Late. Yeah. But you got to look at in totality, people might question.
Well, they didn't have Bruce Brown for most of the time. I'm just telling
Hawk,
you.
I think you just answered your question.
Yeah, but they've been playing well without him at the end. Yeah. All right. That's Chad Millman from the Action Network. More action coming your way next. We'll take a quick break.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.